Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Sorry for the slight delay, I was kind of getting all the streams together in the right place, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, we're here, we're back for our weekly series, actually. We kind of took a little bit of a break after the weekend of Eid. Hopefully everyone got re-energized, rejuvenated. They had a nice little break with their family and loved ones, and now we're back. And we have been kind of in the works of putting this session together for so many people in our Roots community. We have been in behind the scenes trying to put together a good quality heavy program for everybody. And alhamdulillah, you know, we've been brainstorming about what direction to go to next, you know, whether should we talk about a whole nother topic? Should we talk a little bit about a whole nother kind of, you know, aspect of Islam? But one thing that we really felt that would be beneficial for all of us, including the people that are researching, including myself, is going back to the basics, right? Going back to the basics. What is our fundamental belief in Islam? What is our belief system in Islam? And a part of our belief system has to do very foundationally with the pillars that we believe in, right? And a lot of us, you know, we, you know, go through the learning of the 5 pillars at a very early age, right? We know the Shahada, we know Salah, we know Zakat, we know fasting, we know Hajj. But how many of us truly know the intricacies, right? The details of these almost like the pillars within the pillars of our faith, right? So if you look at it, right, we want to break down the Shahada for all of us into our like a really, really tangible understanding. We want to make sure that we understand the ins and out of Salah, of prayer. We want to make sure that we understand the ins and out of charity. What does it mean to be a giving person? What's the ins and out of fasting, right? A lot of us, we fast every single month, every single year during the month of Ramadan, and some of us do voluntary fast outside of Ramadan, but what are the details of fasting that we don't really know about? And then what's the sacredness or the sanctity of the Hajj pilgrimage? What's it like to be in the city of Mecca, going to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam city in Medina? So welcome everyone to the first episode. This is going to be a Monday and Wednesday weekly series, right? So Mondays at 6 p.m., Wednesdays at 6 p.m. We'll be sending out like what the subject matter, the topic will be at the beginning of every single week for y'all, so we can kind of brainstorm. Just like we did today, we want to make sure that everyone gets into the zone of really thinking about what we're going to be covering on the specific days that we're going to be talking about the specific pillars of Islam. So today, we're starting off with the topic of who is Allah? Who is God, right? It's a fundamental question. And it's a question, by the way, that people have pondered over for years and years. And I'm sure that, you know, y'all who are watching on this live stream, you've heard about this topic, right? Who is God? Who is Allah? People from generations before us, centuries before us, have been trying to figure out the answer to this question. And Islam has a really interesting answer to this. It's actually an answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he answers himself, okay? Because we believe that all the knowledge that we have in our religion, okay, all the knowledge that we have, that we have collected into our minds, it has been only through the blessing of Allah that we have that knowledge. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا عَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ, right? That Allah is the one that taught us everything that we know. Everything that we have come to understand, everything that we have come to understand as a creation of God, we only know because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been courteous enough and generous enough for us to actually understand and learn those pieces of information and knowledge. So we're going to go ahead and inshallah start off with our topic for today, which is who is God. So I want everyone to kind of do a little bit of interaction with me really quickly on the live stream. If you could describe Allah in one word, okay, if you could describe Allah in one word, this is the kind of like the prompt that I want to share with everybody. If you could describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you could describe God in one word, what would it be? I want everyone to kind of chime in here on your little comment section at the bottom. So I'll actually type it out for everybody. If you can describe Allah in one word, what would it be? And I'll pin it for everybody so everyone can reflect over this. So this is something that I want everyone to kind of think about, okay? Creator, Very good. Some people are already saying the word creator, right? Khaliq, the one who creates. Forgiving, very good. The one who is merciful. Akbar, the one who is the greatest. He's greater than anything. Everlasting, very good. So think about this as we kind of continue on with the session. If you could describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one word, what would it be? All right. And so we're going to learn a couple of things here today. We're going to learn a couple of key terminologies that I want everyone to keep in mind as we continue on with our session today. And these key terms are actually going to help us understand who Allah really is in our religious kind of, in our religious understanding, in our religious sphere, right? Because the reality of the fact is, if we do not know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, number one, is that it hinders our own relationship with Him, right? If you don't really know who Allah is, you cannot wholeheartedly understand why you worship Allah, right? Like, we're told to worship Allah, and that's something that we've been told to since we were kids, right? Worship Allah, you gotta pray 5 times a day, you gotta fast, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. But as you get older, into kind of like your teenage years, then you go to college, you kind of eventually become young professionals, there is a very gaping hole that if we don't really understand and we're not able to comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes a toll on our worship of Him. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be as beautiful as we understand it to be, right? That's a very important point. And number two is that when we explain our confidence to other people of why we worship Allah, it needs to be very unapologetically stated that this is why I believe Allah is who He is. This is my reasoning for why Allah is Allah, right? This is my reason for why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is who He is. And we're going to talk about this, inshallah, throughout the entire week of our series that we have called The Five today, inshallah, okay? So, number one, we want to start off a little bit about the word la ilah, or the word ilah, right? What is the testimony of faith, right? Everyone, we know that the shahada, right, the first pillar of Islam, is the testimony of your faith, which is la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And it actually starts with the word ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the word shahada in and of itself, it's a word that means to bear witness, right? You're testifying something. You are a witness to something. I'm sure all of us in some time or the other, we've heard of the word shaheed, right? We heard the word shaheed in several different contexts, right? People who pass away for the sake of their religion. We talked about this in the prophetic kind of example, right? When people in the prophetic example pass away, say for example, during the Prophet's life in a battle, or they pass away because they were persecuted for their beliefs, we say that they die as shaheed, right? They die as a witness of their religion, of their faith, right? So the word shahada in and of itself means to bear witness. Somebody who bears witness that la ilaha illallah, that there is no ilah worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's break it down a little bit here. So the first thing I want to kind of share with everybody is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He almost describes the mission of every single prophet that's come from the beginning of time all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, the Surah Al-Anbiya literally means the prophets, right? And so He talks about what He sent the prophets for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدْنِي. So He says, and we sent not before you any messenger except that we reveal to him that there is no deity. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. But there's no deity except me, fa'abudni. And so He says, after you accept that, so worship me. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words directly through what He kind of reveals to the prophets of Allah to tell their people, that tell everyone that there's no one worthy of worship except me. And so back up that belief by worshiping me, okay? And so the word shahada here means to testify or to bear witness, all right? And so, you know, there's another amazing, amazing ayah in the Quran where, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what it means to testify. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-An'am, He says, say, I will not testify with you any other deity. There's no other deity worthy of worship other than you, Ya Allah. And you say, indeed, He is but one. And indeed, I am free of what you associate with Him. So the shahada itself is testifying that you believe in no deity other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, we'll kind of explain this in a second, that the word ilah could actually be used, and this is why ilah is such an interesting word. And we find this, and there's a lot of references and beauty in the shorter surahs in the Quran. For example, in Surah An-Nas, Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Have you guys ever wondered in your own minds, why does Allah say, رَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ? Why does He use three separate ways to describe Himself? Why can Allah just say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِ, you know, he is Allah. Why does He have to say, رَبِّ النَّاسِ, the Rabb of the people, مَلِكِ النَّاسِ, the King of the people, إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, the God of the people? Why does He have to say so many different things to get the point across? And we'll actually define to everybody why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses three separate definitions or three separate words to define who He really is. Now, one of the best references to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in an ayah that's a famous ayah called Ayatul Kursi. And if anybody does not know what I'm talking about, this is an ayah that is found in Surah Al-Baqarah. In the latter part of Surah Al-Baqarah, there's an ayah that describes who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. A lot of the scholars, they say that this is the most powerful verse in the entire Quran. And this verse, and I'll kind of recite it in Arabic, and I don't really need to recite it in Arabic right now because it's going to take two. It's a very, very lengthy ayah, but we can kind of reflect over it in English. Allah says in the Quran, He says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Okay, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no deity except Him. Allahu la ilaha illa. Allah, there's no deity except Allah. Al-hayyul qayyum. Hayyul qayyum means that He is ever living and He's qayyum, He is the sustainer of all existence. Okay, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Neither drowsiness overtakes Him, nor does sleep. Ta'khudhuhu means like He never gets tired. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Ta'khudhuhu sinatun. Like He never becomes tired. He never becomes weary. He never grows fatigue ever in His existence. Okay? Wala nawm. And He doesn't sleep. So the things that ail us, the things that kind of show our humanity, is not found within Allah. Allah can't get tired, right? If Allah decides to do a huge thing that we consider huge and that would make us completely exhausted, it's just like this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kun fayakun. There's actually a verse, there's actually a narration that says kun fayakun. Allah says be and it is. It takes no effort for Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create the world within a snap and He can destroy the world within a snap. There's no sort of work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to do in order for that to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it extremely easily, okay? لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, okay? And then it continues on, to Him belongs everything, whatever is in the samawat وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything that's in the heaven and in the earth, okay? So we talked about, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That everything in the heavens belongs to Allah and everything on earth belongs to Allah. Okay? وَمَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Okay? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ إِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. Who is that can intercede with Him except by His permission? Can anything really happen without the permission of Allah? No. The answer is no. Can anything ever take place without the permission of God? Absolutely not. We as Muslims do not believe that anything can happen without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing it to happen. Whether we deem it as good, whether we, in our very finite knowledge that we have, deem it as bad. Right? There's actually a surah, or there's actually a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that perhaps you may like something that is actually bad for you and dislike something that's actually good for you. So this whole idea of relevancy of good versus bad is completely up to our, you know, our opinions and our mindset. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know what is ultimately good or ultimately bad. And even if we deem something as bad, we later on find out in our life that there is a piece of goodness in it. Okay? So does anything happen without the permission of Allah? No. He knows what is before them and what will be after them. And they encompass not a thing of His knowledge except for what He wills. And this is what we talked about, okay? That there is nothing that we have ever learned or we have ever known that Allah has not taught us, Okay, everything we know, everything that we come to as experience, as knowledge, as information, everything is given to us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will to give it to us. Okay, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi, and this is interesting, what is the word kursi? What does it mean? Kursi, you know, some of the scholars, they talk about this. They talk about, you know, the multiple opinions about what the word kursi means. All right, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi extends over the samawati wal-ard, the heavens, the skies, and the earth. What does kursi mean? Some of the scholars say that it means his throne. Right, his throne extends past the heavens and over the heavens and the earth. But other scholars, they also reflect that the word kursi means everything that he is watching over. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches over is over the heavens and the earth. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And their preservation and the preserving of the heavens and the earth never makes him tired. Right? And if you think about this and reflect over this, if you ask yourself the question, who is God? God is all powerful. There's literally nothing that makes him tired. If you think about this, right? And, you know, we watch kind of like, you know, National Geographic and shows about nature and the intricacies of the human life and, you know, the world that we know at large. And you think about how many details there are in this life. Right? How many details there are in this life? I mean, forget about the rest of the world. Think about us as human beings. What kind of like amazing, intricate detail goes into the creation of like a hand, right? Like your hand has the ability to open and close, to bend a little bit. Each finger has the ability to move separately, right? Each finger sometimes has its own function, right? If you're on your phone, people don't type with their other fingers on their cell phones. They type with their thumbs usually, right? But when you're on your keyboard, you type with your other fingers. Has anybody ever thought of these things? How is that possible? How do our brains know to send the signals to individual fingers to do individual tasks, right? All of these different things is found within just a hand. And that's just one hand of one human being. All the other things that happen on earth, they happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete power over it. And none of the things that we know of, even if it would make us tired if we were in charge of it, it doesn't make Allah tired at all. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't ever become fatigued. He doesn't ever become tired. وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And he is the most high, عَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And he is the most great. And this is the ayah called Ayatul Kursi. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of definitions that we want to define together. Okay. What does the word ilah mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes himself as ilah sometimes, right? The word ilah in Arabic is referred to something that is worthy of worship. Okay. And people, by the way, in times before us have used the word ilah as reference to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, there's in the seventh surah of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually describes the people of Musa, okay? The Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them in the Quran, the children of Israel. And they talk about how the Bani Israel, and we talked about this in previous series, right? We talked about this in the stories from our past. We talked about this in the stories of the prophets, that the Banu Israel were people who were always challenged a lot. They're always challenged a lot, right? They would go from being extremely faithful to having doubts in faith. And so there was a moment in the life of Prophet Musa alayhi salam where the Banu Israel themselves, they actually asked Prophet Musa, and they said, Ya Musa, okay? They said, Ya Musa, qalu ya Musa, make for us a god just as they have their gods, okay? Ya Musa, أَجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ. Make for us a deity like they have إِلَٰهًا كَمَا. Like إِلَٰهَ they have. Okay? So here we can understand that, you know, the word إِلَٰه can be used in Arabic for anything that's worthy of worship. Right? And this is why this is an extremely, extremely big point of reflection here, is that we have to ask ourselves sincerely as Muslims, what do we really worship in our lives? What do we really worship in our lives? Do we solely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but are there other things that we worship in our lives, right? What are certain things that people worship in their lives? Let's actually ask this question on the live stream here. You know, let's see. What do people worship in life? This is a really, really, you know, philosophical question, but I actually want to ask this question, right? What do people worship in life, right? We all say that we're Muslims, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but sometimes some people, their actions show that they worship other than Allah. So what are some of the struggles that we have that we sometimes give attention to things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are those examples? Can anyone share here really quickly? Very good. Nafe, very good. Sinan, very good. Money, right? Very good. Desires, fame, popularity, right? These are things. Sinan goes. Sinan's thinking about the calf during the Prophet Musa's time. Power, money, right? Celebrities, very true, right? Celebrity, like people emulate other people to the form of worship sometimes, right? Like, I gotta be just like them. I almost have to follow exactly in their footsteps what they're doing. Desires, that's another thing, right? People follow and worship desires, right? You chase after it. It's to the point that if you sometimes don't fulfill a desire, it actually has an adverse effect on your own emotions, right? How many of us, let's reflect over this together. How many of us sometimes, because we don't get to fulfill something that we want to do, it's a desire, right? That we want to do it. And if we don't get to fulfill it, we ourselves, our emotions take a toll. Like, you're sad the rest of the day. You're upset the rest of the week, right? If I don't make a certain amount of money, or say, for example, money is taken away from me, it affects me in a really, really adverse negative way that, oh man, I lost $100. I lost, you know, $200. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us that money is not always the end result. It's not always what you want. Money is not always the best thing for you. But sometimes because of our almost worship-like nature with certain things other than Allah, we get so affected by these things, okay? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that He is the only one worthy of worship, okay? He is the only one that's actually worthy of our worship, okay? And He says in the Quran, He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And this kind of translates out to in the Quran, it says, and I did not create the jinn, وَالْإِنسَ, and mankind, except, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except to worship me. That's your purpose, right? And you can ask yourself, you know, like, subhanAllah, man, like, you know, a lot of people have this fundamental philosophical question, like, what's my purpose in life? What's my purpose in life? And I remember I had a very interesting conversation with, you know, one of our beloved teens, right? And, you know, and I love to pick brains, you know, about like what people's goals are in their life and what their vision is about their life. And I was like, you know, what degree, what like where you go to high school, you know, alhamdulillah, I go here. I'm like, okay, after you're done with high school, where you want to go to college? Well, I want to go to here. What's your degree? Oh, I want to get a degree in, you know, medicine, or I want to get a degree in law or engineering. Okay, cool. What do you want to do with that? Well, I want to become a doctor. I want to become a lawyer. I want to become an engineer. Okay, why? Because I like it. Okay, cool. Then after that, then what? Well, I'm going to make money. I want to make a lot of money so I can, you know, live a happy life and a content life. Okay, after that, then what? Well, after that, I just continue living my life, right? So I was like, okay, so what's the end goal, right? Because happiness in this world cannot be the end goal because it's limited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He defines for us what our actual goal is as human beings, right? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That is your goal. That is actually your goal in this life, is that everything else is a means. That's it. You know, the money that we make, the social lives that we have, the family that we have, even though we love our family and we love our friends and we love taking care of people and we love living a very, very healthy, happy life, all that stuff is just a means, because that stuff will end, right? Our teachers, they always teach us, you know, when it comes to the deen and the dunya, you got to keep the dunya in your pocket and the deen in your heart. Because whatever is in your pocket doesn't actually go with you to the afterlife, right? Everything that you have in your pocket that you use as like a resource for this world, the money that you have, the positions that you have in your jobs and your careers, all that stuff will eventually end. that stuff won't go with you into the hereafter. But what will go with you is what's in your heart. Because what's in your heart, nobody can take away from you. And so Allah tells us that, you know, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Right, so that's the word ilah, right? Ilah means something that's worthy of worship. Number two is the word rabb. What does the word rabb mean, right? We hear about this in different ayahs in the Quran. And it's actually in the first surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is to the Rabb of the worlds, Al-Alameen, right? Multiple. Okay, another example is قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Okay, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Okay, very, very interesting that Allah uses the word Rabb to describe Himself. So what does the word Rabb actually mean? The word Rabb oftentimes gets mistranslated out to the word Master or the word God. But that's actually not the meaningful kind of translation of the word Rabb. The word Rabb actually refers to one who nourishes, one who sustains, one who takes care of. That without the Rabb, you would not be who you are. And you know what's really interesting? The scholars of Tafsir say something very, very amazing. They say that in Surah An-Nas, where Allah says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, Allah uses the word Rabb first because it's almost referring to you as like an infant. It's like the first stage of your life. This is why Allah uses it to begin that surah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Why? Because a Rabb is one who sustains, one who nourishes. And when you're a young kid, like baby, an infant, a toddler, if you don't have somebody nourishing you, you will not survive. You will not survive. Imagine if you plucked like a one-year-old out of their home and you put them out in the street somewhere. It is very much a 100% guarantee that that child will not make it. It's almost a 100% guarantee that that child will not make it by itself. Why? Because that child needs a nourisher. It needs a sustainer. It needs a being that will be able to take care of its needs because it cannot do it alone. So when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it's saying that without Allah, we will not make it. We will not make it. We cannot make it. This is why whenever you call out to Allah in your dua, you say Ya Rabb, right? Ya Rabb. No, you're not only saying, Oh God, oh Lord. You're saying, Ya Rabb, my sustainer, my nourisher, the one who, if he does not take care of me, I literally will not make it in life. I literally will not make it in life. My life will not make it. It will be over. That's why the word Rabb is so special, right? I seek refuge in the Rabb, right? Rabbil Alameen. So it's very, very beautiful kind of, you know, sentimental meaning about what the word Rabb actually is. It's a very personal kind of relationship that we actually have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So question here is, what are some of the rights that Allah has over us? Some of the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over us, it's explicitly said in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is said to that we worship Him. That is literally our number one responsibility that we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually a hadith that is narrated by Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, Oh Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over His servants? And Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet know best. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to worship Him alone and to associate none in worship with Him. Y'all get that so far? He says to worship Him alone and to associate none with Him. And then the Prophet asks Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says, and do you know what the worshipper's right is over Allah? That's a good question, y'all. I want you guys to think about this. This is actually a hadith. This is actually a hadith that is actually found in Sahih Muslim, in the books of Sahih Muslim. The Prophet then asked Mu'adh, he says, do you know what the right of the worshippers are over Allah? And Mu'adh ibn Jabal is kind of like taken aback. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, Allah and His Messenger know best. And the Prophet ﷺ, he responds to Mu'adh, he says, the rights that the worshippers have over Allah is that not to punish them if they worship Him. Not to punish them if they worship Him. So Allah's right over us is that we worship Him undoubtedly, unequivocally, unapologetically. And our right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being folded in His mercy as long as we worship Him. How complementary and beautiful is that relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And so we can go on forever about, you know, how the rights of Allah and what are the rights of Allah. There's a very beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, "Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wa la takfurun." Right? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Remember me and I will remember you. Right? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. So remember me and I will remember you. And I want to kind of bring about this one point before we wrap up our class quickly, inshallah. A lot of times in our relationships in this life, just because we put out a certain kind of, effort in a relationship does not always mean that it will be reciprocated by the recipient. You guys understand what I'm saying? So for example, if you have a friend who you love very much, right, and you cherish very, very deeply, and you try to keep ties with them as much as you possibly can, it does not always mean that that friend will reciprocate that love back to you. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that relationship is very different. Allah says, "Fadhkuruni adhkurkum." Remember me, and undoubtedly I will remember you. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. There is no doubt about it. If you remember me, I will remember you in everything. And subhanAllah, and I will actually dare say that even if you don't remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Even if you slip up in your remembrance of Allah, Allah will remember you. Think about this, right? How many people on this earth exist that do not believe in Allah? How many people on this earth sitting here right now have no intention of believing in Allah's existence? Do they still live their lives? Do they still have day after day after day to turn to Allah? Absolutely they do. So even if you don't remember God, Allah remembers you. What kind of a relationship is there that's like that? What kind of a relationship is there that exists that's anything close to the relationship that Allah has with us? This is why He's Rabb, right? وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ وَشْكُرُولِي and be grateful to me, وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ and do not deny me. That's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks of us. So things to think about as we end today's session really quickly, inshallah. Number one is that the role of Allah in Islam is so beautiful. The role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam is so beautiful that He actually has to teach us who He is, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to teach us in the Quran, right? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ right? That Allah has to teach us Himself who He is and how great He is. But having said that, having said how great He is, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that after understanding and knowing how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that He pays attention to the small details in our lives? You know, sometimes in our lives when we become too busy, we become successful, we become known, we become busy in our work, in our school, and we have jobs and life moves on, we sometimes forget to pay attention to the small details in life. Am I right? Are we all guilty of this? I know I'm guilty of this at times, that sometimes we get so busy in our lives that we actually forget to pay attention to the small details. We forget to smile at our neighbor. We forget to send a text to our, cousins or our friends asking them how they are. We almost expect everyone to understand that I'm so busy, so you gotta understand that I don't have time for this right now. But how amazing that even though Allah is Aliyul Azim, that He is the most high, the greatest, Al-Azim, He still has time to pay attention to every single one of the details in our lives. Every small thing that hurts you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which one it is. Every moment of happiness that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you. This is the relationship that we should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? This is the understanding or the beginning of the understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the Quran and in Hadith. So inshallah, on Wednesday, we're actually going to be doing a part two to our understanding of who Allah is. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Allah's names and attributes. So if you're interested in knowing what Allah's names are and how Allah's names play a major role into who He is, join in inshallah on Wednesday. Tell your friends about it. Tell people about it to log into our live stream at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll be able to see you guys and we can reconnect on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We appreciate all of you guys. May Allah reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the knowledge that we've gained today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to internalize and implement the knowledge that we have gained about our Creator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this gathering. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to grow closer to Him in every single aspect of our lives. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We'll see you guys inshallah on Wednesday.